We'll let you know.
Okay.
I'm gonna call to order the Town of Sellersburg, May 10th, regular town council meeting at 6:05. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Randall Mobley.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Jacob Elder.
Present.
Charlie Smith.
Here.
And Michelle Miller is present.
Okay, thank you. Please join us in prayer from Brother Joe from Sellersburg United Methodist Church, and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Lord, I just thank you for the day and the opportunity for us to all serve in the capacity that we've been called. I ask your blessing to be upon us all as we seek to fulfill our duty. And we rely upon your strength and guidance and ask for your peace to be among us as we do all that is set forth tonight. And so we just give all the glory and honor to you in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Okay, motion to amend or adopt the agenda as presented. Motion by Matt, one second. Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval minutes submitted by the clerk treasurer, which is also on our website.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, a second. Second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of allowance claims, also submitted by the clerk treasurer and also on our website.
So moved.
A motion by Scott, a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of payroll allowance dockets.
So moved.
A motion by, it's not on there? Okay.
No, it was. You're saying it twice.
It'll be on the next meeting, sorry. Okay, all right, that's a second here to sign those documents. Code board appointment. I know Jake has worked pretty hard on trying to get this for, at least I've been on her 7 years, so I know at least the last five. So Jake, is this something that, Charlie, is this something you will bring in?
Yeah, so as we've gone through this Unsafe Building Commission, we've gone through here and I've had some conversation. Tentatively, we have a meeting scheduled here to have our first initial meeting here in the next couple weeks, or next week actually. To go through policies, procedures, standards, what our standard day meeting is going to be. But obviously with the formation of that, we've got a council appointment, which Terry volunteered that, myself as in position of town manager, and then a citizen appointment, of which, after a pretty exhaustive search, we found a resident here that actually lives downtown by the name of Kelly Kite. She's an MBA, currently with LG&E. She's a senior financial and auditor. She carries an MBA. From Kelly School of Business, among other things, pretty impressive resume. And again, as being a resident downtown here, I felt that was pretty important for the work that we're going to be doing on a lot of this stuff. So I recommend to the council to make Kelly Kite the appointment to the NSA Building Commission as the resident appointment.
Okay, all right. With that said, I ask for a motion to approve Kelly Kite as the resident member of the NSA Building Code Board appointed.
So moved.
Okay, a motion by...
I'll second.
Terry, got a second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved.
Her last name is K-I-G-H-T.
Correct. Do we have any comments from the public? All right. Moving right on along, the ordinances and resolutions. In front of you, you have two ordinances. The first one is ordinance number 2021-OR-012. It's an ordinance amending the abandonment of the process of noxious weeds and grass. Section 95.45-95.50. States here is whereas pursuant Indiana Code 36-5-2, this town is Sulphur Council. And Indiana is the town legislative body, and the president of the town council is the town executive. Whereas pursuant Indiana Code 36-5-2-9, the legislative body may adopt ordinances and resolutions for performances of functions of the town. Whereas from time to time, the council desires to amend its ordinance for the betterment of the town and effectiveness administration of its duty. Now therefore be ordained by the town council of Sulphur, Indiana, the following: section 95.45-95.50 of the town's codifications of ordinances hereby repealed and replaced as follows: weeds, grass, and rake vegetation. As you see, the different definitions that's placed in front of you about what we feel that needs to be done for the town. And so this ordinance shall be in full force and effective upon its adoption. Prolongation is evident by the affirmative signature that undersigned as majority of the duly elected members of this council. So.
President Amos, if
you have...
So this was already on the books, and we went back and just reviewed the statute. We wanted to make it a little bit easier on staff from a noticing requirement. It's not required in state statute that notice be sent by certified mail, rather than first class mail is sufficient. So it's one of the things that we changed. Another one is just within 10 days of notice. So once the building commissioner and or his designee, they go by, they review and see that some landowner is not in compliance, they send the letter out first class mail. They have 10 days to remedy the situation. If they do not, then the city can come in, or excuse me, the town rather, can come in and abate the nuisance. Or if, you know, if the town has hired a subcontractor to do so the same way. And then there's also a way for the town to recover their costs in a way to file the liens with the Clark County Auditor's Office. So the building commissioner, again, will put together those fees on what that cost was at the end of each month. We'll take those to the Clark Treasurer's Office. She will certify that, and the building commissioner will then go down and file those at with the auditor. And that'll be the process.
I guess this question's for Charlie. And Jake may have discussed it, but which branch, which piece of our town enforces this or even recognizes, you know, this?
So it's going to fall under the building commissioner or his designee, so more likely to be fire station. Far more than likely. To be able to go out again, we get call complaints on grass quite often. Over the last year, we found it somewhat difficult because the way that the language was in our ordinance, you had there was a letter, then it was 3 days, and then we'd go back after so many days. It's very cumbersome to get through, so that's where 10 days from notice. Send a letter, whatever the date is on the notice, it's 10 days from that date. We can go in, we put it in the system, we know what the 10-day roll is, we go back, check it. Is it done? Is it not done? If it's not done, then we can move forward instead of dragging on, because, of course, by the time it hits a violation standpoint, it's, you know, it's a foot tall. Well, then we got another 10 days. Right. You know, so now it's 15 inches. So it just, again, you know, we want to give a reasonable amount of time for people to be able to address these things from a grass and weed perspective. But on the same time, also keeping in mind that, you know, the longer this thing drags out, the more difficult it is to handle things, and it becomes a health and safety issue as well, not just a, you know, some issues that come from some of this as far as critters and pick something. So, you know, stuck in the yard, can't see it when you're mowing. Currently, we are doing it in-house. So there is a fee, a violation fee, plus the cost of us actually going out and doing it internally. And we have staff that will, you know, volunteer to go out and do that over the course of the day or the week. So this helps us standardize a little bit, just cleans up the process to be able to address these issues.
And one last thing that we added in this process, after going back reviewing statutes, there needs to be an appeals process, so if somebody receives a letter, they're not in agreement, for whatever reason, I don't necessarily know what, you know, disagreement would be if the grass is a foot tall, rather there just needed to be some of the language in there. So if after 5 days upon receiving the notice, if they're in disagreement with it, they have the ability to contact the town manager and building commissioners instead of meeting within 3 days. And then if they can't work it out, they'll come to the town council for a vote. I doubt that will happen very often, if ever, but it just needs to be added to the ordinance pursuant to statute.
So this is going on right now. We see it happen. Is that correct? Okay, so just clarify for me, the way it's found out is usually a call in or is it somebody
would yeah, right. We, you know, we have staff all over town every day of the week, you know, doing things. You see it. It stands out, especially when you have all your, you know, neighbors mow three or four times before, you know, it becomes an issue. We've had issues on Union Street right now from town hall. We've had issues right behind here. And of course, when we get, you know, residents from all parts of town to call and complain, or they submit it into the website as an issue. So, you know, there are things that we have to address from a civil perspective. And this, the grass and rank weed vegetation issue is a pretty common one, especially the first part of the year. You know, and again, we want to have a conversation with people because, again, maybe it's an elderly person and they struggle with that, and they're not able to do it, or they don't ask why to do it. I mean, that's a conversation we can have, and I think there's some different outlets from different groups in town, whether it be the Boy Scouts or a local church or something, that we can help communicate that with. You know, and then there's times where it's an absentee landlord. You have, you know, someone who's living in a house who's a renter, and they don't have a mower. And, you know, then you get into an internal argument between a property owner, the landowner, and renter, and the tenant, on whose responsibility is. Well, it doesn't matter who's responsible from our perspective. It needs to be maintained, so it falls back on the property owner to maintain that. So, again, we handle it accordingly down the line, or, you know, to keep these things maintained as best as possible within our limits without overreaching property rights on stuff of that nature.
So, I guess this question is for Jake. So, we legally have the, we can't get a hold of somebody, we legally have the right to go in and mow their yard? Or?
We do, but only underneath the specific procedure set forth in the statute and this ordinance.
This ordinance, right?
Correct. Okay. So you go in there, and again, it's upon the notice, you put first class mail. And the other thing that changed in the legislature several years ago, especially in your larger municipalities, the notice, they were losing or spending so much money on noticing requirements, so that there's this provision of a continuous notice that's going to go into the first letter, as well will go posted on the door itself. So each and every time, you know, the town gets out there to mow this grass, they don't have to re-notice and repay. But yes, provided we follow the procedure set forth, the town will be in compliance.
Okay.
And like I said, there's a notes in here, you know, the cost of removal by the town here, 95.5, but it says administrative fee cost of $250 first offense, $500 second offense, and $1,000 for third offense in a calendar year beginning January 1 of this year. So it just something that, you know, like I said, unfortunately we see more of now here in the spring than later on down the road. You know, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's something that I think we all need to continue to make sure we keep the surrounding residents that have to deal with it out of differences, I guess, so to say. So with that said, I ask for a motion to approve this first reading of ordinance 2021-R-0162.
So moved.
Motion by Scott, second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Let me do the second reading. Good with that? Everybody good with the second reading?
I'll make a motion to waive the second reading.
Okay, you got a motion to waive the second reading, got a second by Terry. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve the second reading of 2021-OR-012 by Matt. Second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. Thank you, Jake, for getting that taken care of.
Yes, sir.
All right, our next ordinance is ordinance 2021-OR-013. It's an ordinance of the town council of the town of Sullenberg, Indiana, repealing the fees to be charged by and paid to the town of Sullenberg Building Department for various permits and inspections. I know Mike Beard has worked hard diligently to get this, and I think along with Jason coming on board, it's really helped out for them to kind of find out the different fees and the things that they're looking to make us more in compliance, I guess, with our surrounding neighboring communities. Charlie, you got things to add?
Yeah, so this is as a result. So the previous council in late 19 adopted a version of this document, which I actually worked with Mike Beard on in a previous position from the comparison. So the community, so on and so forth, he brought it forth to council at that time. They approved it and moved forward. Again, you know, as this council and myself coming on, went through, did a comprehensive plan, have now gone through and established a new set of zoning code and ordinances. This had to be updated to reflect those changes internally. So this is basically a list of more permits for all the different things that you need within the building code, whether it be from residential, commercial, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, storage tanks, signage, billboards, awnings, different districts, so on and so forth down the line. So this document now matches our zoning code as far as that goes from a building permit application standpoint. So again, you know, there's little tweaks here and there on different things, but like again, it all goes back to the UDO and the adoption of such. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
This is on our website.
It's not. So what would happen is, because there are fees associated with this, we have to post this, I believe, for 30 days before the effect of the actors. So once this is passed, we would then post these, post notice of the changes effective date, 30 days accordingly.
I noticed, like I said, there said on these billboards right here, you know, so the billboard company, they pay us $1,200.
They don't pay us either, right?
Yeah, but the little sharp payments. That's yearly?
That's per billboard. So it'd be like, it's like construction of a billboard. If there's construction of any billboard, this would be the permit associated with it.
Okay. What about existing billboards?
It's already...
Already there?
It's already been there. So...
And what about it sits there and said in here about the swimming pool, 100 off, what is it now?
It's 75. It's your 75.
All right, so as I finish here, just real quick here, just on the two little notes, just for the record there, it says, whereas the town council, Sullenberg, Indiana, has determined that it is necessary pursuant to IC 36-1-3 to repeal sections 150.095 through 150.105 of the town of Sullenberg Code of Ordinances, the fees to be charged by and paid to the town of Sullenberg Building Department for various permits, inspections, and plan review. Now therefore it be ordained as the following sections 150.095 through 150.105 is repealed and replaced as follows. So with that said, I ask this ordinance shall be in full force and effective on adoption and prolongation as evident by the affirmative signatures of the undersigned as the majority and duly elected members of this council. So I have a motion to approve ordinance 2021-OR-013.
So moved.
I Motion by Matt, if I have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved, first reading. Motion to waive the second reading.
I'll motion to waive the second reading.
Okay. Motion approved. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Motion to approve the second reading of 2021-R-013.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, if I have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you. We have no unfinished business. We have no new business that I know of. General comments from the public. Anybody have anything to say? All right, our staff reports, Charlie.
So this Josh will hit on there with me. We got some quote packages going out for some backup assistance for the water utility. Streets.
It's not out yet, but right now the water.
Water is out right now for some things. Again, you know, as we go through and start doing these repairs, there are times where, like right now, we just have a lot going on. We could use some support. So instead of quoting out individual little support projects, we're putting out a quote package for multiple things across the board for the year from a support standpoint. Had a great meeting with NDOT and Silver Creek High School Administration, the superintendent, as well as the director of transportation, representatives of NDOT in relation to the Highway 31 project, which is currently pushed off till 2023. However, what we're trying to work through with the school making their announcement of their investment on rehabbing the school, again, we're going to look at possible realignment of 403 as part of the 31 project. However, the school is looking at a realignment of their main entry to possibly come into that intersection. We're trying to see the feasibility of that is and what that looks like. Or is that something that the school needs to plan for in the future on the next phase? So we're trying to work that through again to bring that intersection, bring that entry of the school to light. So NDOT has volunteered to pay for a traffic study on behalf of the school to see what their true traffic flow is into the school from the, what I'll call the west entry off of 31. So again, it was a good meeting.
They jumped right on it right after, but I saw them guys next day. They already putting up some.
Yeah, so I tell you, you know, I gotta go back. Josh and I and others have had developed a really good relationship with NDOT on some things. One of the conversation pieces that came out of that, just on it as a sidebar conversation, was, you know, with the project being pushed back on 31 to at least 23, what can we do on 31 to patch us over and make this thing look like something? Because they're aware, I mean, we all know 31 is a mess. We know it, we hear about it, you know, the Facebook comments we get are consistent. You know, the stuff that we get from the website is consistent on a daily basis. You know, people complain about 31, and it's not the town of Silverburg, unfortunately, responsibility to maintain that as much as we can try to do. NDOT's aware of that, and they're trying to work through some solutions on a potential patch over for the main stretch that's the worst part, because they're aware, like, okay, we're going to do this in this year, we're going to do this in 21, we're not pushing it to 22, now we're pushing it to 23, we know it's bad, we're trying to come up with a solution to help you out, because we know how bad it is every day, and people ride on that road every day. It's a very bad stretch of road. It's a little bit complicated, it's concrete, it's a little bit more involved than just doing a mill and repave situation, but they're aware, and they are working towards a solution. So I, you know, there's nothing set in concrete yet, unintended to do that, but we are trying to come up with a solution from NDOT to help us out with this thing. So we're trying. And we've got a great relationship with NDOT.
I think that's all we're asking, you know, everybody, like I said, everybody, there's a lot of other things, like you said, that's involved and conversations and different things as well. I appreciate their concern, appreciate yours and Josh's continued desire to want to try to help the residents in town of Silverburg. And other following communities that are in our area, so.
So the main issue with the 31 project of being delayed is stormwater. They have a flooding problem. They have a stormwater issue in their lanes, and where they're going to take the water from 31. We have issues in town from water that comes off of 31. So that's really the holdup. Where's the stormwater going? So their consultant was down here last week and spent a day with him. going through town, coming up with some out-of-the-box options that hopefully will come to some fruition. I did make reference that, you know, if NDOT's going to come offline within the town of Sullenberg outside of NDOT's right of way to do some regional detention, there may be an opportunity for partnership from the town with NDOT to oversize those detention bases even larger to allow us an opportunity to utilize those options as well, and hopefully alleviate some flooding that we have down here on some of this corridor. So again, nothing set in stone, trying to get through this thing and see what these options look like and what the stormwater solutions could be. You know, unfortunately, Sellersburg is in a very, very low part of the county. We have a railroad track that runs right through the middle of town. It works as a dam. It cuts all the water flow off from everywhere. So we end up, most of the water down here just sits here until it can get underneath the railroad tracks. In order to keep it out of the roadway and off people's property, we've got to take it somewhere. So that's what the regional basin design is what we're talking about. So again, I don't know where it's going to go, but it was a very good conversation. It's a very good meeting with the guys from Shrewsbury. We're just going to see where it plays out and what this option is, because again, NDOT wants to get 31 just to fix as bad as we do. But we got to get these issues addressed before we pull the trigger on the construction. Before they pull the trigger on the construction, we're going to be in the same boat as far as that. Nice, pretty road, a lot of stormwater problems. If they're going to spend the money to fix it, they're upwards of $8 million at this point on the project. If they're going to spend the money to fix it, they want to make sure it's done right. So while it's unfortunate we're going to push back a little bit in the whole scheme of things and the life of the project once it's complete, you know, it's a pretty small sacrifice, I think, to get this right. So if you've been downtown here, you've noticed some work going on. The CCMG projects did kick off this week. We're starting on Utica Street. But we start in Utica, fanning out from town, through town from here on out. So don't have an exact schedule, but we've had conversations with the contractors to make sure that if when they start going into the neighborhoods, to post signage in advance, letting people know in that neighborhood that, hey, we're going to be paving millings happening next week, or you know, how many days or whatever it's going to be. So Lips Paving is doing the work. So far, from what I've seen, and we've been doing it for a day, but it looks pretty good so far, so making some good progress on that. When we talk about roads and streets, I sent you all an email today. We are going to have a workshop prior to the next meeting. It lasts about an hour. Josh and I and Nick Lawrence from the Weaver Group and Redevelopment are going to have a sit-down conversation. We need to get what they call TIP, Transportation Improvement Plan, put together. As I sent you in the email, that's usually a four-year scope of work of things that you all want to attack, things you want to do, fix, projects that you'd like to look at. We need to go through design, so on and so forth. KIPTA, which is one of the regional assistance hubs that helps funnel state and federal dollars into local projects, you got to have this improvement plan on file with them. Predecessors here in the town never did these things. You know, we're not even on KIPTA's radar for potential funding assistance. In order to do that, we got to have these improvement plans in place. So we're going to start working through this thing. So again, not looking for any answers today, but when we come into the workshop before the next meeting, start thinking about within your district or area of town that you recognize, say, hey, these are some of the improvement projects that maybe we can do. It doesn't necessarily have to be just streets. Maybe it could be bike paths or sidewalk improvement repairs, things of that nature, so we can go through and start getting these projects worked into the KIPTA list. For potential assistance on fundings. So because inevitably what's going to happen, you have some communities that say, hey, we're going to do this project from a funding standpoint. The dollars come available from a grant. That community is not ready for those dollars at that time, so they fall off the list, and then your project starts moving up the list, which is what we need to start doing. But in order to get our projects on the list, we've got to have a plan. So we're going to get a plan. So we're going to have the TIF put together. We'll have a workshop before the next meeting. So just start thinking about things that you'd like to see or things that you would like to see done in different areas of the community, from a transportation, that's any modes of transportation, walking, riding, driving a car, to town, okay? So just start checking on that. If you got any questions, obviously you can call me, you can call Josh, and we can start working through this thing a little bit. We're going to sit down and kind of hammer out a few things here in the next week or so on some high-level stuff that's all been discussed at some point or another from different connection points. Or we know we have sidewalks that need repair, especially downtown here, things of that nature. So we're going to start getting some of these things lined out, and then we'll come into the workshop and we'll start down that path of identifying other stuff. Questions on those on that?
I had a question about the retention ponds you mentioned earlier. You don't really have any, maybe not a proposed site, but possibly an idea.
I have three sites.
Three sites.
One of them is there's property owner that owns some ground down next to the American Legion. Had a conversation with them who could be willing. Again, now that is acquisition of private properties, we got to go, there's a process that you have to go to do that from an appraisal standpoint. And, you know, maybe they don't want to sell based on appraisal. Don't know. But they had expressed interest of maybe possibly being willing to sell that piece of property for that half of the project. The other half of the projects, I actually recommended, and I brought this up a couple of different times, of utilizing the north sections of the exit 9 interchange where the creek goes through and excavating those areas out and utilizing them for regional detention basins.
And that permission would come from the state or?
It's all NDOT's property anyway. So they would just have to design it and excavate the ground.
That's what I pictured, a pond there, a lake there with spillway, you know, I mean.
You've got a creek there that runs through the east and west sides of the north side of exit 9 interchange. So but there's some rules through IDEM about inline detention that you have to meet and some permitting and stuff of that nature. But again, you know, all that flood water that comes through exit 9 ultimately ends up and contributes to the flooding issues that we experience at Foothill, Parallel, 31, Lakeside. It's all part of that. So the more water we can detain upstream, the better off our residents are going to be downtown. And again, 31 is an NDOT road all the way through town. So, you know, it's in their best interest to solve the downstream flooding as well. Right. So I think potentially the if it works out from a topographical perspective, or if it works out from an engineering perspective, that we can utilize the north sections of exit 9 for regional basin, I think it just has a benefit all the way around. So again, you know, those were the three sites, or, you know, basically one big site, a smaller site that we kind of kicked around, but they're running some preliminary numbers now. I talked to a representative from NDOT today who, you know, was thankful for us being able to really come to the table on this, come up with some out of the box ideas and concepts to see if there's any way we can move forward on that.
I've just seen retention, like if you go down where Haps Airport used to be, I forget the name of the road, it's behind Walmart. You had a huge retention area there.
That's exactly what it is.
It's never, and there's two questions I have about, never see water in it. And the second one is, would something like that, if we had a lake by the interstate, basically, would we have to fence it in, or would that?
No, so it wouldn't be a lake, it'd be dry bottoms. I mean, realistically, when you have a lake there.
I'm not saying a lake that stays there, but when we're flooding, it's a lake or a pond.
Well, the idea is that the way the detention works is, you know, it allows the stormwater somewhere to go, hold in that area, and it's got a small inlet or an outlet structure that releases it over a longer period of time. So when you have a flash flooding incident or a storm event come through, you know, you got all the storm water, and instead of it rushing directly into the creek, which then causes your flash flooding issues, take it somewhere else, hold it there, wait till the water recedes, and then that detention basin releases it over a longer period of time. So if you go to Walmart when there's a heavy storm event, you go back there, I've seen the thing half full. It releases over hours. You know, usually 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, those basins will recede because the outlet structure where the water's going, the creek level has now receded. So what you don't end up with in a storm event, you don't have this massive flooding where the water's out all the banks, but you never really truly have the quote-unquote dry season, right? It's dry, but you've always got a little bit of flow going on. I don't say always, but you've always got, you know, you've got a longer period of time where you've got flow going through. And it's a controlled release of the stormwater. That's basically what it's designed to do. Okay. All right. Let's talk about regional cities. If you all remember 2015, the regional cities event came around. There was a bunch of money up for grabs. Our region cannot form an RDA to make application for the regional cities dollars. So it went to Evansville, Fort Wayne, and South Bend, I think, wherever else it went to. In 2017, the Regional Development Authority was formed between Clark, Floyd, Scott, Washington, Jefferson County, Indiana. Something I've been very involved in since the concept came out in 2015 under the Pence administration for the regional cities. There's now a program called the Ready Grant. It is more or less a regional cities 2.0. It's designed to be, to help the state incentivize with local units of government, private development for economic development. There's $250 million a year over the next 2 years that are up for grabs with these RDAs. They're going to award these things in $50 million increments. So if you think about that, $50 million is the state match. $50 million is going to be local public match. You got 60% is going to have to be private. Okay, so what are those projects? So that $50 million from the region, the RDA, is what will be applied for. Sellersburg, I think, is in a very, very, very good spot with everything that we are working on, from the wastewater treatment facility, day capacity, Camp Run, especially, potentially Exit 7, to submit some projects within the RDA plan that could potentially be eligible for RDA funding. The match that we would come up with, 20% that the town of Sellersburg would be on the hook for, it's not necessarily cash. It can be land. It can be dollars that have already been spent that impact a project, whether it's sewer expansion, extending a water main, extending a sewer line, repair or improving a lift station for capacity, putting in a roadway, things of that nature. Nick and Josh and I are going to be sitting down here again to hash out some things and different projects. What has the town of Sellersburg done within the last year or so that could qualify for this, for our match? These are projects that we've done or are planning to do, they're in the pipeline now, that count towards that 20% of the match.
How does sewer plant expansion that would be?
The sewer plant expansion itself does not, but the additional capacity to service does. So there's a difference, because again, you're not going to get 60% of dollars help funding a sewer plant, all right, a private dollar. But what you can do is now we have the capacity to serve certain areas that could qualify. What does that return on investment look like, and how do those numbers break down? So the state has put a very aggressive timeline. I sent you all a spreadsheet today or a slideshow. Just flip through it. It kind of lays it out within that timeline. If you look through there, it's going to be very, very aggressive. I was at an RDA meeting. I've gone to these things since they started. I was at the very first one, and there were six of them. There was the five members plus four of us in a crowd. And that's pretty typical of an RDA meeting. There's usually not a lot of people there because really they have money and they have a lot to discuss. You know, we did get some money through the RDA here about a year ago, a year and a half ago, $150,000 planning grant, and they put together a comprehensive plan for the RDA itself. And that can be found at Our Southern Indiana RDA, or just Google Our Southern Indiana RDA, and there's a website that's on there, you can see what's in there. The timeline in which this thing is set, when the RDA has to make notice to the IEDC that they're going to apply and make application, and the time frame in which they have to actually make application is very, very tight. So there's going to be a call for projects here within the next 30 days from the RDA for communities to submit their projects. We've got some homework to do here behind the scenes to figure out what those options are. Again, it's going back to the council. We're going to need to have a workshop coming up to hash these things out, because we're going to need to do it probably prior to the next meeting to have that conversation of what we've discovered. Here's what we're thinking. Make sure everybody's on board with these things, and that way we can make application and try to get these projects included in the RDA, because we want to get Sellersburg's share at $50 million. Right, so assuming our RDA, the Our Southern Indiana RDA gets the $50 million, we want our piece of that. That said, so does every other community in the RDA. So we got to be on top of our game. I think we're positioned very well from some of the choices that have been made here, especially in the last 16 months, directions that we're going, and investments that this town has made towards some of these projects and improvements that I think put us in a very unique position for this opportunity. So just again, want to put that out there. So keep your eye out. If y'all can make it, we need to have as many of y'all here as possible. I think we kicked around one day next week, like 8 morning or something, if that's what we need to do. But the clock is really ticking on this thing. So just be aware. If you have questions, let me know. We can talk about it. Sidebar, we can talk about it now if you want. If anybody has any questions now. You know what I know.
I've been very confident and very proud of you staying on this, staying with it, so that makes me feel good. Our room is the direction as a whole, as far as, like you said, with the last 16 months, we've all stayed here as Team Sullivan to continue to do what's best. So, you know, whatever support, wherever you need, and I think we're all on it from my point of standpoint, so. That's why I'm gonna be gone for the 3 days next week, so. Making on Thursday.
We're making on Thursday. Again, CC and Jared kind of talked on that. The only thing I have right now is May 26th is going to be Champions Day. Jake is drafting a proclamation that will be presented at your next council meeting to honor the high school sports Silver Creek for any champions, state champions that we have in the year. Of course, in the 2021 season, we have girls, we have boys, we have cheerleaders. So we have ordered plaques, key to the town plaques, invitations. I delivered them up to the school today to talk with the athletic director, who has assured me that he will be making sure all the invitations get to all the players and team members, managers, coaches, and everything is part of this. So that we can have this event down here on the 26th. Tentatively, if there's a rain event, we'll have it on the 27th. So we'll have a nice event, present the teams with the proclamation, the plaques. I think it'll be a nice event. Maybe have a food truck down here as well, just for, you know, people to hang out and do their thing. So again, May 26th, once I get confirmation that the invitations have gone out, I will publish a public notice on the website as well as on social media to, you know, to invite people. Because obviously we want people to come down and support. It's a big deal. So,
title down.
There it is. So May 26th, mark your calendar, 6 p.m. On that Wednesday evening. Should be a pretty good event. I think that's all I have for tonight.
What did you have scheduled for May 19th? What was that? I saw the email. Don't remember what I saw. Oh, that's our meeting for the COVID enforcement.
Yes, so May 19th at 3 p.m. will be the first meeting of the Unsafe Building Commission. Again, that's where we'll sit, have that meeting, establish board members, our policy, procedures, functions.
Just really start walking through what it's going to look like.
Yeah. We're starting from scratch on this thing, so we want to get it right.
Thank you.
This is National Police Week as well. Saturday is, I think, the 15th. The president has issued a proclamation that flags be flown at half staff on Saturday in honor and memory of those officers who gave the ultimate sacrifice and a line of duty. So again, we get a nice Facebook post here a little while ago. But again, I encourage anybody in the council here, if you see any police officers or speak with anyone out in the public from that, to, you know, let people know that, again, this is National Police Week. You know, obviously thank them for their service to our community here. I think they do a pretty good job keeping us safe. I'm good. Let's see if I have any questions.
Okay. All right. Got a show on
the JTM? I'm going to provide you all with a copy of the redevelopment update we gave last week, just so everybody has a copy to see it. You can see schedules, see everything going on with Camp Run. Just want to make sure you all are in the loop on that. So, first, we will talk about Camp Run. We gave an update at the redevelopment commission.
Yeah. Do you want to go back there and use Michelle's? That microphone's quit working.
We'd like to.
That would give you hear you on the record.
All right, if I just can move it over to my
table. Thanks, Josh.
Okay. Does that work all right?
Yeah.
We gave an update at the redevelopment commission meeting, which was held last Thursday. Talked about schedule, project status. Even since then, some things have been completed. I believe Charlie has given the update to the council about money.
No.
You okay if I did? Okay. When we initially, maybe 3-4 months ago at this point, had conversation with NDOT about Camp Run, the signal, we did a pre-signal analysis meeting with NDOT, brought them down here, had a conversation, said, hey, can you all help us out? NDOT came back and said, we think we can. If you can satisfy X, Y, and Z, we've put a schedule to it, put a list of scope and tasks, reviewed that with NDOT, said, yep, we can do it. Put us in line for fiscal year 2022 funding, which is next year, which is really starting June, end of June this year until June next year, so July to June. They said, we think we're going to give you about $400,000. So they budgeted an initial $400,000. The signal came back with an estimate somewhere around $911,000. Last week, we found out from NDOT that they're going to take their discretionary funds. Charlie made reference a little while ago to projects that have not been able to meet their funding range. So they've had some projects fall out that they can't spend money on. So they have put in their discretionary budget $911,000 for our traffic signal at Camp Run 60, or Camp Run and State Road 60. So they are going to fund construction in conjunction with federal dollars matching everything on the intersection at State Road 60. So that is a huge win for you guys. Started at 400 grand and it went up to $911,000, really because of the communication that the town has had and the relationship that has been built here over the last 2 or 3 years, but really stepped up over the last year and a half. So just, I mean, congratulations to you guys. The town is going to get $911,000. Your all's contribution is engineering, construction plan documents. They're covering inspection, they're covering construction, everything associated with the State Road 60 signal. We're going to take it from the right-of-way at Camp Run and 60 and build everything on Camp Run, but NDOT is funding everything within State Road 60's right-of-way. So congratulations to you guys. That is a huge deal.
Very well appreciated from your all then. As well.
So. Absolutely. We're excited about it. So you guys have a schedule here that was provided. Since the schedule was put out, we completed the right-of-way legal descriptions for property acquisition, and those have been turned over to redevelopment and Nick Lawrence to move forward with negotiations for buying property. They'll go through appraisals and a few other things at this point, but the survey of the property got recorded this morning. Legal descriptions with recorded deed number, with recorded information was then provided to Nick and then Charlie this morning as well. So progress is moving. We've got some milestones we're going to hit next month with stage one submittals and then eventually field checks. But everything's moving in a positive direction. Any questions on State Road 60 and Camp Road? All right.
Awesome.
It is. The redevelopment is helping to push this forward and move it along, and I'm sure they'll probably have a couple of extra special meetings that happen here over the next couple of months with property acquisition and other things. But if you all have any questions, let me know. Charlie, I think, touched base on most everything else. The couple of quotes we'll have back for you at your next meeting. One is a water valve and storm sewer repair project on adjacent to 31. Fern, I think it was Fern and 31, so we're doing some repairs. We've acquired the NDOT permit to do the work, and work should begin after we bring the quotes in at the next meeting. We're also putting out the annual kind of on-call to assist with services, insert a valves, you name it. Little things that come up in the water utility. Paving is moving forward and lots of stuff's gonna happen over the next couple of months, but Charlie covered all of it. Questions for me? Thank you.
Questions for Josh? Thanks a lot. Appreciate all your considered time and help moving things forward quickly. So once again, hopefully this $911,000 that we were going to have to spend now, we can utilize it somewhere else to make whether it's improvements or some changes with Camp Run or whatever other desires that we have, so keep that in mind with some of the things that Charlie asks everyone, you know, bring to the next meeting as well, so. Jake, do you have anything to talk about?
No, sir, I don't.
I'll try to change things up a little bit here, with our comments from our council members. Matt, I think you've gone first for a while, so start off.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for all the hard work. That's really all I got to say.
Randy?
Yeah, I'd just like to just make a note that, you know, where we're at, you know, I'd like to thank Charlie and Jake for keeping their ear on the track and seeing things coming down the pike, because before, it didn't seem like we had a foot on the gas when it came to looking at money, just like you mentioned the project earlier. But, you know, that wasn't a piece, and, you know, that's a big part of Charlie and Jake's worth. They're not just sitting there drawing pay, they're proactive, not reactive. They have to be reactive, but I just thank both of you for being proactive and keeping your ears to the ground and, you know, your foot on the gas and just taking care of Sellersburg, you know, because, we got somebody that's interested, we got somebody that cares about what they're doing, and, you know, I hear good things, and, you know, and it's you know, we're not perfect yet, but we're working toward it in a better way than we used to. So we're doing well. I'd just like to thank both you gentlemen for being on board with us, and as well as you, Josh. Thanks for all that you do. Just, you know, I'm just real happy that the direction we're going in right now.
Great. Thank you.
Scott?
No, nothing.
Jared?
Just want to kind of reiterate what he was saying. People around town are talking about things that are really, they see improvements, they see, they're still complaining about 31, but I understand that. But they're taking notice of things we're doing, they're taking notice of things that are happening. I get questions about Camp Run, and I'm glad to be able to tell them what I know about it. And, just everybody's doing a great job right now. It's good to be a part of this.
I can't agree with you more. Hey, thanks a lot for being a police officer. All right,
well, thanks, Scott.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, I got a little bit of a list, sir. Unfortunately, first of all, you know, Randy, hit off on your note. You said, you know, Charlie, I was having to be in his office last week, and he was looking up through all the archives of our town information and things that was discussed over, and back in the early 90s, there was a discussion of town manager. And, you know, one group did look into that. So this is a perfect example. You know, no disrespect to anyone who's ever sat here in this position or represented our town of Sellersburg in any way, shape, or form. Everybody has a different thought, and everybody has a different approach of what they're looking for towards the future. But for us to be able to put ourselves and agree and move forward with where we're at, we finally have, you know, someone that has a lot of knowledge. We all agree that, you know, Charlie was a very good researcher from the get-go. And so it makes me proud, and it should make every citizen of this town proud that we are moving forward, and we're moving quickly, very quickly. So, you know, before you know it, our 4 years will come and gone, and hopefully the people of Sellersburg continue to support us and realize that, hey, we're moving into that right direction. So, Charlie, I definitely thank you. And I know Jake was a big part of it. Josh was a big part of it to make this thing happen. So I thank everyone for that. Charlie, you mentioned something about budget talks. Have you decided on when we would maybe do that?
We've had a lot of hidden stuff here. Intentionally, my intention is that we would start having some budget workshops in June. Something I want to confirm with Michelle Millers. Again, I think I'd like to try to keep this thing in-house this year. You know, with Jake's assistance, I think someone's going to come on his schedule and availability, Michelle's schedule and availability. Just kind of go through, pull some history on some stuff, and really start going out. I think it goes back into things like TIP that we talked about. In regional cities and things of that nature, what do you all want to do with the budget next year, you know, what's in there, what, you know, not just projects. I mean, we got to fund basic services and police and all the stuff that goes along with all this. But outside of that, what else? What's next, right?
Sure.
Originally my intention was that we could start in June at some point, start meeting and then go through the process.
All right. Okay, and lastly, I gave everyone a package here in front of you with the address of 622 West Utica Street, Sellersburg, Indiana. It was a property owned by Laura Wren, the town council, back in September of 2018. We come up with an agreement of purchase price with an appraisal price due to we needed easement for the flooding issue. Within all that time, we was able to purchase the home next door, demo it down, clear it out, and then to decide on what direction we want to go from there. On the back two pages, you'll note that from JTL, a couple of different proposals. The second proposal is a little bit more now, better due to the fact that the house is gone. So this was the first picture, and from the back was what we had before. And then the second one was just a little updated version. Mrs. Wren has reached out to me and asked that she would like to have her home back. So with us having that certain part of the easement. I know Michelle, we brought up when we was talking about a couple of different other things. It was the first thing that clocked in her brain, and it was in my brain. So to figure out, you know, we're a certain amount of money that is already put on the books, we still would have owed her a little over $100,000. So I just want you all to consider this. Read it, look at it, examine it. Josh Charlie and myself will probably go out there and do a little staking. She's given us permission to where we want to line for her property line to be. Jake will come up hopefully and be able to realign this new agreement. And we're so pleased to stay in her home. She needs a roof. She needs a lot of improvements in her home that she would like to put in. Her oldest son, Trey, as we all know, is going to go to Purdue. And she has a younger son that's going to be in the third grade, and he likes where he's at. He likes his school, he likes his friends, his teachers, and he wants to stay here in Sellersburg. So I just want to put that in front of you, let everybody think about it, talk about it, you know, reach out to whether it's Charlie or myself, in any way, shape, or form in the next 2 weeks, but I would like to put it on our agenda for next meeting to hopefully come up with a solution on what direction we want to go. So with that said, like I said, that's all I really have else to say. So Michelle, you have anything?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. I ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Matt. Got a second?
Second.
Second by Randy. All in favor say aye. Same sign, nay. 7:03, I'm sorry. I was going to do the 2 right here.